You're listening to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. The cost of prescription drugs. You're hearing a lot about that in the press. Maybe you've experienced it yourself. Today we're going to dissect this issue. The U.S. spends 200% more per capita than many of our comparable international peers. That includes Australia, Canada, the United Kingdom, France, Germany, other countries. And U.S. prices are higher even when discounts are considered. Costs for some groups of people, say the uninsured, are even worse. The uninsured pay three times or more than what other Americans pay for prescription drugs. And here's the kicker, that spending is on the rise. Here to talk about some of the factors and potential solutions is Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, welcome back to Health Connections.
Always a pleasure to be here with you, Brandon.
Well, let's try to break down the problem. Let's start from the beginning here. Let people know what the landscape looks like.
Good way to start. Costs, Brandon, are a result of price and utilization. How much you pay and how much you buy.
Okay.
It's that simple. So when we look at evidence about price and utilization, higher U.S. spending is not a result of higher utilization. So therefore, it's prices. Americans spend more on prescription drugs because of higher prices and more expensive treatment options, which frequently people select. American drugs are 80 to 150% more expensive than drugs in the comparator countries that you mentioned. So in essence, Brandon, it's pretty simple. We're spending more and we're getting less.
A person could argue, though, if you're spending more on prescription drugs, you're probably less healthy, right? In the same way that if you drive a gas guzzler, you're going to spend more on gasoline. Let's talk about that argument.
Well, Americans are less healthy than our peers in our comparator countries. We actually do consume less drugs, about 12% less overall when we look at the other countries. But then one of the things that we frequently have Americans taking medicine for is hypertension. And one study revealed that Americans actually take 25% less, what we call days of treatment for hypertension drugs. And when we consider how prevalent and how serious and the onerous end effects of hypertension, that's kind of scary. We could maybe improve our health status by actually better utilization of pharmaceuticals. Kind of paradoxical.
It sounds that way for sure. Yeah, we're using less and still yet paying more. Why is the U.S. so disparate? What is setting up this divide between us and other industrialized countries?
Well, the U.S. lacks the price controls and or some of the competition that we see in comparator countries. There's lots of buyers in the U.S. So that limits your ability to negotiate. You don't have as much leverage when you have more buyers. In other countries, there's a single or a limited number of buyers. In the United States, for instance, we don't allow Medicare, a large purchaser, to negotiate drug prices. Boy, what a missed opportunity. A lot of money is left on the table. The other thing is when there are drugs that are highly specialized, expensive, and for which there's no comparable treatment, other countries tend to control the prices of those drugs so we don't see the gouging that we frequently see in the headlines in the United States.
So we're talking about costs being high for the buyers, and we're not necessarily talking about individual patients, but, you know, you were talking about Medicare as a customer base. Are there any downstream effects?
There is the downstream cost effect. We do feel that Americans, now some of us are more protected because of our insurance plans, but that doesn't apply to everyone. There are major consequences of the U.S.'s higher drug prices, and it relates to a little bit of what we talked about before. Noncompliance. Noncompliance is exacerbated by high cost.
And that means if I'm prescribed a drug and I just skip a day or skip refilling my prescription because it might be too expensive.
Right. Nearly 18% of all adults report skipping doses of prescribed medicines because of cost.
Let me address another argument or raise another argument with you that has been made about the cost of drugs in the United States. It's because we're doing all the R&D, the research and development, so other countries may be able to purchase drugs or make drugs more cheaply, but it's because we're putting in all the hard work here in the United States.
That's a bit of a myth, Brandon, that the other countries are riding our coattails. I mean, a bit of a myth. I'm not entirely dismissing what you've said. Price increases of existing drugs, drugs that are already in the market is the problem. It's not the introduction of expensive new therapies or market improvements of existing therapies. It's that year-to-year price increase on drugs that we're already using that have already been researched and developed and have gone through a cycle of pretty good use within the general population. Let's look at the price of insulin. I think it's a great exemplar. Now, when you need insulin, you need it. It's not an option.
Yeah.
And we've looked at the price of insulin, and just in the time period from 2012 to 2016, it increased twofold. If you expand that time period and look at 2002 to 2013, a threefold increase in the price of insulin. Now, we have two kinds of insulin. We have the old standbys, and we have the newer insulins. Now, the newer insulins have very marked advantages, but we're seeing price increases in both. We have a real problem, and this is kind of the poster child of the downstream effects of high cost.
We'll take a look at another factor. You've also said that brand name drugs are partially to blame here as opposed to generics. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, and this is something that surprised me a little bit, Brandon. 10% of all the prescription drugs are for brand drugs. I thought that number would be higher, but I checked it.
Yeah.
Yet this 10% of brand drugs account for 77% of all the costs. So big difference in that. Brand drugs have higher launch prices and higher annual price increases. There's a special problem with brand drugs for which there is no generic equivalent, is that we know the use of generics or biosimilar drugs, drugs that have the similar action, can result in an 80 to 85% reduction in price. But they have to be available to be able to achieve that savings. That represents about $54 billion, and yet our uptake of generics and biosimilar drugs in the United States is very low.
As is typical for us on Health Connections, we talk about problems or issues or concerns. We also like to talk about potential solutions or some avenues for potential improvement. Where are the bright spots in this?
I'd like to talk about two of them. I'm sure there's others. One is, let's look at the VA system. The VA spends about one-third of the national average on drugs, and they have double the number of therapy days.
So that sounds like we've reversed the formula that you introduced at the beginning of this conversation, where the VA is spending less but getting more out of it. How does the VA do that?
Well, they do it a couple of ways. Unlike Medicare, which I mentioned previously, the VA has centralized purchasing and negotiation for the purchase of drugs. That's powerful. Powerful leverage, and they're able to negotiate better prices. The VA also uses a formulary. In case folks don't know what this is, a formulary is a list of approved drugs. So if expensive drugs do not show added therapeutic value, that their extra price comes with extra benefits, they're not on the VA formulary. So they're not saying just because it's there, you can use it. If there's something that gives you equal results for less money, they're going to go for the drug on their formulary that's less money. But the issue there is value.
There's another, at least potential, bright spot. I know we're at a unique position politically right now. Bipartisanship is almost a four-letter word up in Washington. But there is a potential here for Congress and the president to also contribute to helping solve the problem.
Yes, it's interesting that I'm going to say there's a bright side politically. Maybe. There's hope that Congress and the president might actually come together in 2019 to lower drug prices. We're hearing about this. We've been hearing. There's sort of a building crescendo about something has to be done, and it doesn't seem to be an R or a D issue. I think people are concerned about this maybe for different reasons and see different ways to achieve the outcome, but there is a growing consensus. Also, one of the things that's really important, one of the most powerful lobbies in D.C. is the lobby for pharma. Pharma is the trade group for the pharmaceutical manufacturers. And we saw a little bit of waning influence last year with some changes that were done to Medicare, and that really caught everyone's attention. But then we have something that's tangible, Brandon. We have what's called the CREATES Act, and it's getting growing support. The CREATES Act aims to increase access to lower-cost generic drugs.
This is a proposed piece of legislation. It's not law yet. It hasn't been voted on. Nothing's been signed. So let's walk through, at least in its current form, what would the CREATES Act do to address the problem of prescription drug prices in the U.S.?
Well, it basically does two things. It would prevent the drug makers from guarding brand drugs to prevent other companies from developing alternatives, generics, or biosimilar drugs.
So the way things are currently structured is a pharmaceutical company can basically say, we got dibs on this, you can't create a competing version.
They can game that system, yes.
Okay, all right.
And the main way that that happens, Brandon, is something called pay for delay. And the CREATES Act disallows pay for delay. This is a strategy where generic drug makers are actually paid by the brand drug makers to delay the introduction of generics.
Good grief.
So they can continue their monopoly on their brand drug. So I'm really pleased to say that I think these are two things that will help to reduce cost, and there is bipartisan sponsorship and support for the bill. The basic idea behind the CREATES Act is we aim to increase competition, because right now we don't have sufficient competition within the system.
Well, it sounds like there's something for people who might favor more government regulation. There's something for people who favor more free market competition. And that seems to help underscore what you're talking about. There's a little bit of something for everyone, regardless of ideology, in this common issue of lowering prescription drug prices.
Exactly. And this is good old politics, whereby we may not have the same reasons for wanting to be somewhere, and we may not get there the same way. But if we all go there, that's a good thing for our country.
Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing joining us on Health Connections. Dr. Myers, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Brandon. Thank you.